They were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection. And some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm your host, and I'm here in the studio with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, in this series, Don't Stop Believing, you've taken us through the life of Abraham, and now we're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and really talking about the fact that our faith journey, it's like a race.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Hebrews is almost like the sequential chapter to the story of Abraham, because it's all about faith.
Yeah.
And this message is about running with winning faith, because faith is not just an act. Faith is a journey. It's a race. It's something that we have to maintain. It's something that we can easily lose. It's something that we can get distracted from. And so this is a journey that we are running, and some people lose the race, some people get disqualified, some people quit, and other people win.
One of the things this passage talks about is not getting entangled, not getting caught up. Talk about that.
Yeah, and you know, it's an interesting phrase, because it says not to get entangled, to release the entanglement and the sin. So sometimes we get entangled in obvious sin, but sometimes we get entangled in things that aren't sin, but are distractions or can eventually trip us. And so some people allow the non-sin entanglement, but ultimately it becomes baggage that slows us down. And so you have to ask yourself, what I'm involved in right now, is it helping or hindering my walk with God? It could be baggage that you really need to let go of, or it will eventually disqualify you.
And the command there is to throw off.
Throw it off.
Everything that hinders.
Get rid of it.
So this is a challenging word.
Stop running the marathon with a big 50-pound suitcase dragging behind you. Get rid of it.
Stop running, pushing a shopping cart full of cans that you're going to turn in at the end of the race.
Absolutely. Get rid of that backpack that
you have on
your back. Done with.
This is Running with Winning Faith from Hebrews 12. Let's go to the text now.
Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 4 as we continue to talk about faith. This morning I've entitled the message, Running with Winning Faith. I heard recently about two gas men that were out reading meters in the neighborhood. And they went up to one house and they saw an elderly woman looking out the window as they read the gas meter. Where these two guys were diehard Sox fans, and so as soon as they read the meter, they said to each other, "Hey, let's run to the van to make sure we catch the score of the game." So they ran as fast as they could to their van, turned on the radio. By the time they got to their van, they turned around, they heard huffing and puffing, and it was this elderly woman that had run after them. And they said, "Are you okay, man?" She said, "Yes." They said, "Why are you running?" She said, "Anytime I see two gas men running away from a house, I run too." Well, sometimes we run and we're not sure why we're running, right? But this passage in Hebrews chapter 12 is all about the race of faith. How to run with winning faith. And this is a powerful passage. In fact, it tells us in this passage, beginning in verse 1, it makes reference to chapter 11. Now, chapter 11 is the Faith Hall of Fame. The writer of the Hebrews has just talked to us about all these heroes of faith, from Abraham to Moses to Enoch to Gideon to Samson to Jephthah. Mentions all these people that are faith heroes. Maybe you're here this morning and say, "Hey, I like what I read in Hebrews chapter 11 from these faith heroes." I mean, after all, look at what it says in verse 33, it says, "These people of faith, you know what they did? who through faith conquered kingdoms. You say, I like that. They administered justice. They gained what was promised. Hey, these people even shut the mouths of lions. Remember Daniel? They quenched the fiery flames, and they escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle. They routed foreign armies. You say, wow, man, they turned armies around with their faith? Yeah. Women received back their dead, resurrection. They raised to life again. And you say, I like all that stuff. Man, I want to have that kind of faith. Turn around armies, raise people from the dead, shut the mouths of lions. All this power, yes. Well, wait. I'm not done reading. And then it says, and others. These were also heroes of faith. Others, look at the middle of verse 35. They were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection. And some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. Verse 37, they were stoned, not cocaine stoned, but stoned with rocks. And they were sawed in two, and they were put to death by the sword, and they went about in sheepskin and goatskin, and they were destitute and persecuted and mistreated. And hey, the world was not even worthy of them. And these also were the heroes of faith. You see, I want you to understand that faith doesn't always cause us to overcome every problem, that sometimes faith gives us the ability to go through our problem. Hello? You see, we all want faith to solve our problem. We want faith that heals us, not faith that gives us the power to go through our sickness. Hey, we want faith that gets us another job. We don't want faith that gives us the power to deal with a unjust, nagging boss. Hey, we want faith that changes our wife. Oh, God, I'm praying. Change your Lord. Change your attitude. I'm believing in Jesus' name. I'm claiming that you'll close her mouth, Lord. I'm claiming that you'll change your attitude. God, I'm claiming all this. And we want faith to change our wife, but we don't want faith to love our wife and to endure. You see what I'm saying is that oftentimes we want the kind of faith that changes our circumstances, but the Bible talks about not only the faith that changes our circumstances, but faith that gives us the ability to endure our circumstances. And so, in Hebrews chapter 12, the author of the Hebrews turns his attention to this kind of faith. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked off for us. Now it says, therefore. Every time you see the word therefore in the Bible, you ask yourself, what? What is it there for? And when you see the word therefore, it typically refers to highlighting the context of the previous passage. He's just talked about all the heroes of faith, and he says, therefore, since there are these heroes of faith, I want you to remember, since we are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses. You see, the imagery that we have here is the image of an arena. The Romans were infamous for building these grandiose arenas in which thousands of people would gather as spectators to watch sports. And sometimes these sports were cruel and violent. The gladiators would compete in these arenas. But they also had competitive sports like running and other kinds of sports and that they borrowed from the Greeks. And now we have actually the tradition of the modern-day Olympics that came from that era. And so the writer of the Hebrews makes reference to the idea of us running our life in faith and saying, imagine an arena with thousands and thousands of people. And who is filling that stadium? All the heroes of faith that have gone before us. Hey, over there, I see Abraham. There he is. Yeah, that guy. And over there, there's David, and there's Gideon. Yeah, remember Gideon with 300? He made the armies run. Hey, and over there, there's Isaac. And I see over there, there's Enoch who walked with God and was no more. And over there, there's Noah who built this big boat when people laughed at him. It took him 100 years to build it. And over there, there's Elijah. And he raised a few people from the dead. And look at all these heroes of faith that have gone before. There's King David. And man, look at this array of faith heroes. And where are you? You're running down to the stadium. And these faith heroes are saying, hey, I've been there. Come on, don't give up. Hey, keep going. Come on, keep going. Imagine a cloud of witnesses of people that have gone before and run the race, and they are watching you as you run, and they are cheering you on. They are hooraying you when you win. When you persevere, they're saying, go get them, and you hear their voices rise, not as spectators who know nothing about the sport of running in faith, but as people who have run before you and have won. He says, I want you to picture that. Since you are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses. The word, by the way, for witnesses means testifiers. And we get the same English word for martyrs from this word. And these aren't just people that were martyred. Not all of them were martyred, but there's people that have gone before and they testify, they witness, they support us, they cheer us on as we go ahead. So I want you to write this down. The first point of winning faith is winning faith releases baggage and doesn't get entangled. It releases baggage and doesn't get entangled. You see, here's what I want you to know about the faith run. The faith run is not a sprint. It's a long-term race. It's like a marathon. And if you've ever looked at the face of someone that's running hard, you will look at a face of not someone that's in pleasure, but someone that's in a little bit of pain. Because when you're running hard over a long distance, your body cries out for more oxygen, your legs ache, and your body is saying, this is difficult, this is tough.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called Running with Winning Faith. It's from Pastor Mark's series called Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Our message is called Running with Winning Faith.
My mind goes to the image that was plastered on television and newspapers a few years back of a fellow by the name of Derek Redman. He was of Great Britain, and he was running the 400-meter men's race. And halfway through, he had a hamstring injury that left him in severe, severe pain. But he had committed himself to finish the race. Together, they hobbled their way to the finish line, and although they went slow, and although they didn't win the race, they finished. And many of us understand that running the race is difficult, and it's painful at times. And some of you are in the middle of a faith race right now, and you are in agony. Maybe some of you are here today, and you're saying, I don't know if I can make it another month. Pastor, you don't understand that my faith right now is really, really thin. I mean, if one more thing is added to my plate, I think I'm going to tip over. I think God is speaking to you, especially this morning, saying, hey, you're not running this race alone. You have the arm of a father around you, and you may be limping, but you have the power of God surrounding you, helping you to finish that race. Amen? So it tells us, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Now, the first thing that winning faith does is it throws off anything that hinders us. Now, this is interesting because you're literally throwing two things off. Number one is you're throwing off the weight that hinders you. Now, it's not referring particularly to sin, we know, because later on it says the sin. How many of you know that something doesn't necessarily have to be wrong or sinful, but it can hold you back from what God is trying to do in your life? How many of you know that? How many of you know that something can be a weight that slows you down? And oh, maybe it's not a sin, but it's something that keeps you from running your best. It slows you down from going all out for God. I have a duffel bag here with me on stage, and it's not light. And let's just imagine that it was time for the Chicago Marathon. Any of you here marathon runners for the Chicago Marathon? Any? Okay. All right. There's been a couple. And let's just say that it was time for the Chicago Marathon, and you're gathered together with several thousand people at the start line, and there you are with a big duffel bag on your back. Everybody else is just as light as possible. If you have a duffel bag and someone says, "Hey, why do you got that duffel bag?" You say, "Oh, I'm prepared. I got extra shoes right here. I have my lunch in here just in case I get hungry halfway through it. I have four bottles of Gatorade right here. And guess what? I got a sweater in case it gets a little cold. I even have a first aid kit just in case I stub my toe. I am ready. In fact, if I get bored, I have a little portable TV right in here, okay? We are ready to go." Now you would look at that person and say, "That's ludicrous. I mean, you're going to lose the race, or you're definitely not going to run it fast. Because this weight has to be," by the way, in the Greek, it doesn't mean just put the weight down. It talks about like throwing the weight off. Hope I didn't break the TV. You just throw the weight off. The point here is that some of us have issues in our life that aren't necessarily bad, but they slow you down. Hey, there's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt not spend hours playing video games. But let me ask you this. There's probably something a little wrong when you spend 15, 20 hours a week playing video games but can't crack your Bible open. Hey, there's nothing on TV that says you can't watch, nothing in the Bible that says you can't watch reruns of I Love Lucy or The Three Stooges. But let me tell you, if you spend an average of 12, 20 hours with the television on, but you spend an average of maybe 30 minutes a week in the Bible, would you say that something's a little flip-flop there? Maybe it slows you down? Hey, we all love sports, don't we? And we're all into sports, but hey, when your sports begins to interfere with your spiritual walk, and when you can't come to church on some Sundays because you have to put your priorities straight and be there for your favorite sports team, let me tell you, that's a weight that's sort of slowing you down. Hey, we all have to make money, and God wants you to prosper and pay your bills and take care of your family, but when your job becomes the main focus of your life and you can't say no to overtime and you haven't been in church for about a month straight because you keep telling your boss, "Sure, I'll work on Sundays," let me tell you, there's something about a weight that is slowing you down. And the Bible says if you're going to run the race that God has set before you, you have to learn that there's certain weight that you have to put aside and say, "I'm going to run as well as I can and as long as I can in this faith race without being weighted down by other things." Now, sometimes what weighs us down is our past. I know some people that are dragging their past with them everywhere they go. They can't quite seem to worship God very well on Sundays because they're dragging with them this past of shame. God has said you're forgiven, but they say, "Well, I'm carrying my shame with me." And some people have failures in their past they just can't quite get over. And everywhere you go, you drag your past of shame with you. And God is saying, listen, if you're going to run this race well, you need to throw aside the weight that slows you down. And not only cast aside the weight that throws you down, but the other thing he talks about doing is he says, not only throw aside the weight, but also the sin that so easily entangles you. Now, it's very interesting, this word for sin, because the word for sin that so easily entangles us, the original word means to ambush, to encircle, to entrap. See, not only are you throwing aside the weight, but you're also throwing aside obvious sin. It's amazing how many of us think that we can run the race and still carry our sin with us. I coach soccer sometimes with my boys. And my 7-year-old Grant, for his age, he's quite a little soccer player. He knows how to dribble the ball. And he was like he was the star player on his team this past year, I think because he knows how to dribble a little bit. But it never fails that one of his shoes comes untied. So here I am, I'm running out in the field. He raises his leg. I said, well, you can tie your own shoe. No, Dad, you tie it tight. So, it's got to be tight. So I tie his shoe. But every time he's got some shoelace that's flinging around, and of course, he thinks he can play with it that way. But eventually, he trips on it. He steps on it. You see, and that's the way we are with sin. We think we can still run the race with that string of bitterness in our life. And you can for a while. And you get away with it for a while. You're running the race and it doesn't seem to be affecting you. But once in a while you kind of trip over it and you keep running. But if you run long enough, the day will come where that string of bitterness will wrap itself around your other foot. And the day will come where you will trip and fall and injure yourself and lay on the side of the faith race because you lingered, you procrastinated in dealing with the sin that you figured, I don't want to deal with it yet, I'll deal with it next week or next month. Hey, when we have a fasting time, then when I'm going to deal with it. But I don't want to deal with it right now. And some of us learn to live with our sin. And God keeps talking to us about dealing with it. And we say, okay, God, I will, but later, later. And we keep running and we don't think it's that bad because we're running. But let me tell you, there's a lot of people on the sidelines of injury because when God spoke to their heart, they did not deal with what God was speaking to them about. How many of you know that in Hebrews chapter 3, it says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And how many of you know that sometimes in the middle of a service, God can speak to you strongly about something. And we're good at kind of swerving around conviction and deflecting things. Yeah, God, I got my issues, but you should see the guy 4 seats down from me. I mean, he's really got his issues. I'm so glad we came today because that was a great message for, And sometimes we look at our stuff and God is saying, wait, if you're going to run the race, cast it off. Today is the day you repent. Today is the day you say, I'm not going to live with this because this will cause me ultimately to fall. There's a cloud of witnesses around us and they're cheering you on. People that have run the race and they've won. Have you ever seen a relay race where you have one person run the first lap of the race, and then they have what? A baton. And they have something like this. It's a baton. And they run the race, and there comes a time when they have to pass the baton on to the next person. And the next person grabs it and keeps running, and they do their lap, and then they pass it on to the next person. Because whoever successfully completes a lap is able to hand it on, and when they've all done well, they win as a team. You have people that have run the faith race ahead of you, and they're handing on a baton to you that says this, it's your turn now.
That was Pastor Mark's message called Running with Winning Faith, which is part 10 of this series, Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, thank you so much for listening. And on behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, please join us again on the next Straight Talk. Have a great night, and God bless.